Tiger League, Empire, hell, everybody in fantasy. What's happening?
Legends, because that's not Rick's league.
It is 2021. The draft is over. And we are live from Montclair, Louisiana. I am your host, Super Duper Diggity Dave. And I'm here with the weed drinking, beer drinking, hot dog eating, YEW. Mini Boo, what it do? To my right, I got the reigning Tiger League champ, the man himself, Sticky Icky Icky, Ricky, bless him.
Yo, New Year.
And recorded live from Denver, Colorado, he is the most hated man of fantasy, and he just traded, but we ain't going to go into that. That's some whole other shit. Taylor Ford, talk to him.
Dave, after last year, I had to take a walk, had to look at what was going wrong, and I realized that was somebody that was coming for me that had it out for me. You know who it turned out to be?
Who's that?
It was me. I was my own worst enemy.
Yes.
More, though. It's a new year.
That's it. It's a new year. NFL draft's over. We've finally seen where all these fucking rookies are going to. We did do a draft show, but due to some technical difficulties, we couldn't post it. Y'all heard the intro. Due to technical difficulties, we cannot play music no more, so we're going to figure out something. Thanks, Universal. Thanks, Spotify. But fuck it. We're still here. It's all that matters. Really no headlines. Just, rookie minicamp started.
Nobody knows what Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson is going to do.
Yes, that's still up in the air.
Taylor Ford said Denver Broncos can't catch a break. They work off site.
Stupid.
Early injuries already.
Yes, and we haven't even really gotten to it.
And Kelvin Benjamin tight end back in the league.
Why?
What a way to start the 2021 season.
Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow signs the tight end. Here come Kelvin Benjamin. And
Caps still don't have a job.
I don't think he wants it.
He probably don't want it no more.
He's not coming back. You can put that dream out of your mind. He's done. He's done in NFL.
If you've been out of the league longer than 3 years, you should just be done. What the fuck is Kelvin?
Yeah.
I'm not.
What is Tim Tebow thinking?
Tebow's been out for 9 years.
Tebow been playing baseball now.
Yeah. Oh, man. Come on.
Tebow trying to act like Jordan.
Oh, yeah. Most likely, neither one of these guys is going to make the team when the season starts, if you had to guess. But, hey, who knows? Who fucking knows anymore? Let's not waste any time. This is our very early running back ranking show. These rankings are subject to change as we go into training camp and we start having injuries.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're going to run through them. We have our consistent picks and we'll talk about our differences and we'll roll with that. So, y'all want to get into it?
Yep.
All right.
Let's go.
Benjamin, would you do the honors?
Of starting off with what, number one?
Yeah, number one.
Number one consensus rank between us four is Christian McCaffrey.
Yes.
CMC.
What, was he number one from everybody?
No.
No, he wasn't. That's just it. David and me had him at number one. Richard and Taylor have him at number two. So, Rick started off, what's making you think that, well, you got Kamara number one and CMC number two. So, what's your thought process on that?
Availability. I like either way it goes, and I've said this before, I don't feel like you can go wrong with three other top running backs. Like you get either one in number one. Mm-hmm. So just because I don't have him ranked at number one doesn't mean I don't feel like he's number one worthy. I just personally like Kamara more. I feel like he got a lot more help, a lot more weapons in a good system that he's been in. I just like him better. Maybe I'm biased.
Maybe so, but I don't. I could have sworn you said they don't have any weapons. To be honest with you, though, we talked about this all week. The Saints don't have any weapons, but
Mike T.
Which actually, if you think about it, I'm glad you mentioned that because now McCaffrey has other weapens.
Yeah,
right. Outside of just him, you know, he has
DJ Moore,
DJ Moore,
which Robbie Anderson, but they lost Curtis Samuel, but they replaced with Terrence Marshall.
They went stack Marshall.
Yeah.
So
I'm just
so maybe McCaffrey doesn't get the workload we are used to seeing him when he plays healthy, and Kamara is probably going to have to do more depending on the quarterback situation.
Right.
Exactly. So, yeah. But depending on the quarterback situation, we also seen last year Kamara struggle with Mr. Hill, Taylor's All-American quarterback.
But I feel like we're to stretch the field more.
Yeah, it's a whole new system, so it's hard to it's hard to gauge it. But you still got Joe Brady, you still got that type of offense. CMC's done did it with Cam. CMC's done proved it with Teddy. I don't see why he can't do it again with Sam Darnold.
Yeah, off top. Not doubting it. Just coming back off an injury, and I'm just not a big CMC head. I ain't convinced yet.
It's just like you said, it's so close between the two.
Yeah, you can't go wrong.
You can't go wrong with either one you pick. Taylor, you got anything to say about this with between AK and CMC?
Because that's what it boils down to.
So, CMC, he's not number one. The only reason he's not number one is because I just think somebody else should be number one, who we'll talk about. But what I love about CMC, why he's number two and why you can't go wrong, CMC owns two of the top six highest scoring campaigns among all NFL running backs in history. That's points per game. And they let Mike Davis walk in free agency. So even though Christian McCaffrey may get less work, he may not get the carries that you're used to seeing, he's going to be more efficient. I think that Sam Darnold is a big upgrade over Teddy Bridgewater, not because Teddy was a bad quarterback, but because they want to go downfield. That's Joe Brady's offense. He wants to be high flying, and I think Sam Darnold fits that more. So he should be in the red zone more. I think he's just a no-brainer number two.
Off top, McCaffrey plays three games last year. All three games, he's over 25 fantasy points. The guy's like a cheat code, man. I mean, you got, like, in baseball, you got Ohtani, that's a cheat code, because you got him pitching in that. But McCaffrey is the version of that in here, because he is a whole number one receiver and a whole number one running back in the same damn position. And at the end of the day, I just don't see anybody fucking with that still yet, coming off an injury or anything, you know?
Yeah, it's splitting hairs. Because I can say the same thing. If Winston's quarterback for the Saints, he opens up so much because he's able to go downfield.
Correct.
That's going to open up more for Kamara. With Breeze, defenses could play up because there was no deep threat. And Kamara would make amazing plays out the backfield catching the ball, but now we have more open space.
Okay, so who do you feel that can contribute more to the offense? Sam Darnold with DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, and Terrence Marshall, or Jameis Winston with Mike T, Callaway, and Traquan to help open up for your running game? Kind of going to go with the Darnold situation. I mean, to be honest with you, you haven't seen it yet because the other unproven receivers.
But I've seen a proven quarterback
in
Jameis Winston.
And we've seen Darnold
make plays here and there and do have a few highlights. But he hasn't been proven.
I'm also trying to figure out what, since we're comparing Kamara, what has he done wrong to not be in the conversation?
He is our consensus number two. He's our consensus number two, so that's why we're just kind of comparing them, because that's one and two punch right there.
Right.
The lowest one on Kamara is Taylor, because Taylor got him ranked at four. Richard got him at one. Me and David got him at two. So, Taylor, elaborate, because you're obviously being the devil advocate here. So, what is the reason for Kamara going down to four?
So, I do want to talk about my number one, too. I want
to get we'll get to him in our consensus.
We're going down by the consensus ranking. We're still on AK, so.
My thing with Kamara is, number one, I'm not certain that Jameis is the starter. Not certain at all. And I'm not certain about that this offense being as good as it was last year for Kamara. They may take a step back. I mean, in all likelihood, they may take a step back. I'm also concerned with Latavius Murray, as always. He's always going to put the kill on the top potential of tomorrow because he's going to get his carries a game, or some games he's going to get more than half, and it's going to hurt Kamara. And that's, you know, that's why he's number four for me. Still not terrible. He's an amazing athlete, but there's just three other guys I'd rather have.
Yeah, correct. Like this year, our consensus top five right here, you cannot go wrong with one of these guys. You can win a championship with any one of these guys.
Correct.
Easily to lead your team.
I agree.
But
he said six touchdowns by Kamara in the fucking championship.
Right. But that's just it. Yeah. Six in the championship game. Kamara won you championship last year. So, but you always said that, but we've always had a Latavius Murray or a Mark Ingram.
Yes.
And right. Kamara has been top, you that's know what I'm saying? System. And that so that's the type of system we run. It's his efficiency is so fucking high that it doesn't take the attempts that most great running backs need.
And he's going to get
His efficiency has been high, but I don't know what the Saints offense is going to look like for me to say that efficiency is going to continue. And if it doesn't continue, and he's also not getting, you know, as many touches as the three guys I have above him, then that's a problem.
You're right.
Great, you got something?
What sold me so much on Kamara being the number one is because of the fact that I feel like the Saints are kind of going to take a step back, and he's probably going to be the number one option on their offense, at least for the first half of the season, yeah, until they can figure some stuff out. So I just expect him to be very high volume, regardless of.
You're right. With a running back, when a team takes a step back on offense in general, usually in a quarterback position, usually the running game is relied on more.
Right.
Just like something we can see later on when we come around and talk about Aaron Jones, with his Rodgers going to be there or not. So
true. But if let's say for instance that Jameis is the starter, let's say it's him, you would expect the Saints' offense to be less run heavy because it's just a part of that.
No, because the problem
that the Saints with him, if he's on the field, you're going to have three wide receiver sets more often than the Saints have had in the last 4 years.
Yes, you're right, but right? There's a difference though. You have Jameis compared to Drew. Drew, you can let him throw a lot more and do the dig in the past, not of recent years. Whenever you got a quarterback and you want to limit his chance for a failure, you run the fucking ball. And the Saints have been a great running team for the last 10 years. That's just what we do. So you're going to take less chances on Jameis. Don't put him in the predicaments to where he can fuck up. Let him ease. Let him manage the game. And if he has to win it, make him do a big play. But otherwise, you want to control the clock, control the tempo, run the ball. So the touches will be there. For Murray and Kamara.
It's going to be interesting to see how the Saints play out, across the NFL.
Right.
As far as teams go, they're one of the most interesting, I think, people will be wanting to see.
If they had the faith that they was going to go out and air it out, they would have took a receiver.
Yeah,
correct.
That's why we don't need that.
They know.
That's why I don't think it's Jameis. Or Jameis, whatever his name is.
Well, you say Jameis, we say Jameis.
Well, we'll have that quarterback argument later on. Let's get to number three. That was our daily Saints conversation that we had.
That was the 1-2
punch. Our 15-minute segment of Saints talk.
Number three, consensus coming in. And, you know, arguably, guys, I really, in my personal rankings, I'd probably switch number three and number four up right here. But we all consensused out at Saquon number three and Dalvin number four. So let's talk about Saquon just, I guess, because of the highest opportunity. David and me got him at three, Richard got him at six, and Taylor got him at five. So, me and Dave are a little bullish, more higher on Saquon. It bumped him up.
Let's split the hairs on it right now.
Okay. So, Dave, what's your pros on Saquon?
This is my thing about Saquon, all right? We've seen Saquon be the best running back in the league with nothing.
Correct.
Where he had to, with no O-line, no receivers to bail him out, no quarterback. You know, no offense to Eli in the last couple of years, but they just – he had nothing. And Saquon was the number one running back with nothing. Now, they have a better offensive line.
This is the best team he's been on since being in New York.
They have receivers now. They drafted Tony to help open up the field.
He got hurt already coming off the field.
Yeah. But – and, you know, you're hoping Daniel Jones – we've seen Daniel Jones get better the last year or so. It's on Daniel Jones, yeah.
It's going to be the year you're going to know.
If Daniel Jones – consistently plays, you know, decent football, then that's just going to open up so much more for Saquon.
And that's how I feel. They have a stout defense. They're getting better. They got better towards the end last year. Blake Martinez leaving the defense. Xavier McKinley came back from injury, the rookie they drafted. Defense is fine, I believe. And so that's going to put you more. You pound the ball with Saquon. Limit Daniel's opportunities of failure. Yep. And when you got to go, he got Kenny. He Galladay. Yes, he got Sterling. He's got Slayton. He's got Tony. He's still got Evan Ingram. He got Kelvin Benjamin.
But, yeah, this is the best team Saquon's probably ever played for since coming into the league. And, you know, we didn't see him last year because of the injury. But you can't forget, this dude is just a fucking monster with the ball in his hand. But why do y'all have – why are y'all a little bit more down on him, Rick?
Okay, personally, I just like my number three better.
Yeah.
But I just feel like with the direction of the moves I see the team making, I feel like they're not trying to solely rely on him so they couldn't pack his volume.
Okay.
Yeah, it's understandable. It's understandable.
You're right, because that's why they got all the weapons, so right. They don't have to just rely on the running game.
And, you know, this is fantasy, and you want to get some dudes that's going to put the numbers up.
Yeah, you want the touches. You want to, you know, you want them to get the ball more. And you might not get it as much. Me and Biz is hoping now that he has, they can back off of stacking the box of shit.
Correct.
His efficiency will go up. And
well, there's two players in this top 12 list that it's like, well, bro, you're going to shit or get off the pot.
Right.
And that's between Saquon with this situation coming up and Joe Mixon.
Right.
That's the two guys right there that everybody's just waiting for to see what's going to happen, because these are two highly drafted guys that everybody expected to be great, and injuries and other bullshit has plagued them in bad teams. So I don't know. We'll see. Taylor, what's your downfall on Saquon?
Isn't this his second ACL tear?
I think so.
Yes, I do believe.
Okay. All right. For a running back that gets his money the way Saquon does, which is moving and getting yards after the catch, I don't know if he comes back with the same spring in his step. The things that I like about Saquon, listen, I don't think Dave Gettleman is the type of guy to keep good players on the sideline. So for me, that means he's going to have Galladay, Shepard, and Tooney out there all the time. So I don't think that it's going to be pound, pound, pound. I think the run is going to complement the pass. I think that Daniel Jones is either going to throw his best career game and he's going to be Josh Allen, or he's going to forever be Drew Locke. And I think this is the year. And I think they can be better than the Bills' offense if they can run the ball more efficiently. And I think that if you give him space, which he should have, he can still be great, even though he's lost a step. You know, I've got him. I'm a little bit higher than Rick. You know, I'm not as high as you guys for those reasons. But, I mean, you can't go wrong with him if he falls to you.
Yeah, definitely not. I mean, okay, so that's our take on Saquon. Like I said, I'd really feel more comfortable if this guy, number four, Dalvin Cook, was our number three. Because me, Richard, and David all got him statted out, ranked out at four. Taylor got him ranked at number one. And this is the number one you've been wanting to talk about. And why not, bro? Last year, 312 attempts in only 14 games.
Right.
16 rushing touchdowns, 1,500 rushing yards. The dude was unstoppable. He plays a full season right there. I mean, he's right behind Henry, you know? As far as fantasy goes. So, and there's nothing that they drafted. Yes, they got Alexander Mattison, but Cooks is a man. Right. Cooks getting 20 touches a game, damn near. So, I can totally see it, Taylor. So, what exactly pushes you over the top that just locks you in with Dalvin Cook?
He's Devontae Adams in 2019. Absolutely nothing has changed. They've done nothing to address the position. The offense should take a step forward, as Green Bay's did. And He just had no injury, didn't have an injury. He's not coming back from anything. You don't have to ask yourself, you know, how did that affect him? Same coaching staff, same offensive coordinator. It's just the safest pick if you go in there. I mean, I just don't know how you could go wrong. There's questions about every guy below him except one as far as health-wise and as far as what we've seen offense-wise. We'll talk about him. I'm talking about Zeke, but I just think he's the way to go.
But has he – okay, this is my thing that scares me about Cook. Yeah, he really didn't have no bad injury last year, but he's had injuries.
He missed two games. He missed two games last year.
But has he ever played?
That was probably full season, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Has he ever played a full season since coming to the league? No, and he still missed two games last year.
So when you look out for that, you got to that's what I did. I started him out at like about 16, 15 games because there's always a chance he's going to miss a game or two.
And, I mean, he had an amazing year last year. Don't get me wrong. It was ridiculous. But Madison is not a bad running back behind him. And when you're the Minnesota Vikings and you're going against Green Bay and now you have Chicago that might be a threat, you know, you're playing these up – you want Dalvin Cook late in the year. So they're going to have to ease off of some of those touches, in my opinion, to have them late in the year for that playoff push.
Minnesota's going to be passing the ball a lot.
And I think that too. I think they're going to throw it a little bit more this year. Dalvin Cook could get some catches, but –
And that's going to be good for him. He's going to be in the red zone way more. We should see his touchdowns go up if that offense is better.
As far as pure runners, him and Derrick Henry are possibly the two best pure running backs in the league.
No doubt.
And it shows last year because last year alone for what just first down runs, Henry had 98, Dalvin had 91. Next closest was 69 with Jonathan Taylor.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you give them the ball, them bitches know where the fucking first down's at. They getting it. And then they go find the end zone. 17 touchdowns for Henry, 16 for fucking Dalvin. And I'm talking about Henry so much because he is our number five consensus. And it just feels like it's so much disrespect because this is raw stats that we're looking at. You know, this is how we rank, you know. So, the bonuses and all that's not included. But when you look, you're getting almost 8 points every time he gets 100 rushing yards. Well, he's going to have about 8 to 10 games with 100 rushing yards. So that's a good 80 to 100 more points. It just changes everything. And that's the same thing that happens with Chubb. Chubb falls behind right here because of that with the pure stats. But Chubb gets the 100-yard rushing games, you know, and the bonus points. So that kind of affects it. But off top, Derrick Henry. I got him 5. David got him 5. Taylor got him 8. And Richard got him 3. So, Rick, you the highest on Henry. Go ahead and tell us. It shouldn't be spoken because we already know, but just tell him.
I mean, dude is a freak of nature. He shows up, shows out. He works hard. I mean, he doesn't have anybody, I mean, a real threat that he's sharing time with. He plays on a very run-heavy team. And, I mean, I don't see any signs of slowing down.
I mean, you could have a possible running back one. Again with Henry, and wide receiver one with AJ Brown. So, I mean, this Titans offense is lit.
This Titans offense is lit. We're talking about receivers, but the league, and I respect what Henry's been doing the last couple years.
Let me just add that I just want to add this: this guy does this with not nearly as many catches as he should have.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, bro. And he can catch the fucking ball.
This is all just off just running the ball, pounding the ball.
378 attempts last year for Derrick Henry.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
2,027 rush yards, 17 touchdowns.
But, you know, and that's what I'm getting at, though. Like, I respect what he did the last couple of years, but the league every year, defenses adjust to everything. And they tried adjusting to Henry, and it just didn't work out. But now you have less weapons now because all you have really is Henry and A.J. Brown. So,
baby Jerry.
The league, defenses have to fucking stop this guy. This cannot go on forever. It blows my mind how good this dude's been the last few years. It really does. But it scares me. I would never draft Derrick Henry unless he just falls to me where, you know, he slips and he never will slip and somebody's always going to take him over. Taylor, you're the lowest on him. What you got to say about it?
Right.
I mean, you said it. You said it. The team, unless they make some signings, it may be one of the biggest regressions year over year of any offense as far as what they have available to throw to. So that means it's Derrick Henry and it's Brown. Okay, you invested in your offensive line and your defensive line. Heavy. All right, okay. So what they're saying that they're going to go out there and do is that they're going to go out there and do the same thing. They're going to pound Derrick Henry just the same. And I just don't think he can do another 370-yard season without something breaking down. I mean, that's why he's low for me. And the biggest reason I'm down on Derrick Henry is because this is a PPR league. If this was a standard scoring, he'd be 3 to 4 spots higher.
No, he'd probably be number one.
Which he was number one last year.
He was in PPR.
I mean,
it's just And like we talk about Dalvin Cook, how great he's been, and he can't make it through a full season. This dude's still playing damn near every game. I don't know. He's amazing. I probably should give him more respect, but I'm scared. I ain't gonna lie. I've never had Henry on any of my teams.
Give him his flowers while he's here, man.
I had him when he was shit, and I let go of him and everything I had him in. And the second I let go of him and everything.
Yeah, you good luck chucking. Was that the movie?
That's it.
When you know you fuck some women, and then they get married right after.
Correct.
Yeah, you good luck, Chuck. Derrick Henry, good job. Who you picking up this year? This is going to suck, so I could draft him next year.
Well, it was Clyde last year, so he'll probably cut the fuck up this year.
Oh, yeah, Clyde's going to shake back this year.
So. But
yeah,
okay. Who knows? I'll fuck something up.
Yeah.
Number six overall, Zeke and Taylor Ford got him at number three.
Woo!
David got him at 10. Ricky got him at 5. I got him at 6. So, Taylor Ford, number three, Zeke, why?
I think that Zeke is already paid. So I think that when you look at, first off, he didn't get hurt last year. You know, he didn't work hard because the season was over. I think he gave up. Dak is coming back. That's his boy. I think Zeke goes back to being, you know, the guy we've always thought he could be. And in that offense, we saw it for a little bit. When they get going with their receivers, that should open up a lot for him. I also think that Pollard, listen, he could be a threat, but if I'm the Cowboys, let's run Zeke. Run him out, and then next year, I think they can cut him with no, you know, it's like he's like a maybe like a $12 million cap hit. I'll look it up next year. So I think this may be Zeke's last year or second to last year as a Cowboy. I don't think they pay him next year. I think they go to Pollard, and you see him spend like a second or third round on a running back.
Man, you'd be a cutthroat as GM. You would be. Would nobody want to go play for your fucking team? I just run him in the fucking ground. We'll cut him next year. God, dog. But that's how the league
they did
is.
It with the Marco
Murray. Huh?
They did it with the Marco Murray.
Oh, I know. Say this is how the league is. You make a good GM, yeah. Taylor.
It's a business. Shit.
I probably got him the lowest, huh?
Yeah, you got him at 10.
And look, that's just how it's standing out. I mean, I can see Tony Pollard being more involved with the offense this year. Tony Pollard has shined
in
every single opportunity he has been given. And yeah, Dallas' offense will be better. Man, Zeke was probably scoring about 18 to 20 points a game last year with Dak.
Oh, yeah, Zeke was doing great.
But, you know, Dak's coming back. They're going to sling it. They got the weapons. CD's coming in the second year. They still have Cooper. Jarwin's coming back.
They still got Gallup.
Still got Gallup for one more year.
Jarwin season.
You know, and they have weapons, and I think they might throw it a little bit more in the red zone. I like Zeke. But after statting out, everybody just fell to number 10. Because I think he does take a little step back. And I think Pollard takes a step up.
I agree.
Especially when you know Pollard's your future. And Zeke's could be on the way out, like Taylor said, you know. So why not start getting Pollard more involved? The dude's flashed every time he's touched the ball.
I say Zeke still got a good couple more years left.
Oh, yeah.
But it is. You got to do start looking at that. So,
If you have a 1-2 punch, why not use it?
You're right.
As great as Zeke is. When you have somebody just as, you know, maybe not just as great as Zeke, but you got somebody great behind him, exactly. You got to let him touch the ball for your offense.
Because we didn't see that last year. I mean, we had everybody healthy for the first 4 weeks of the season, and we didn't see them try to get Pollard more involved. We saw the Zeke show. And, you know, that may be how they want to do it. That could change. But I just looked it up. If they cut Zeke after the 2021 season, it would save them $5.7 million. So not a huge save, but the Cowboys do project to have the lowest amount of cap space in 2022. You can make anything happen with cap space, but, I mean, they could cut him. That's not really a huge cap hit when you think about it. $5.7 million, you might as well just keep him.
Yeah, I think Zeke's probably one of the more safer ones. But
yeah,
if you're shooting for upside, there's other players that can, I believe, can take a bigger leap. Like this next guy.
Coming in at number 7, Aaron Jones, Richard's favorite player.
Where he has him at?
Richard has him at 10. Richard got him at 10. And me, you, and Taylor have him at 7. So that's how it goes, and he ranks 7 out. So what One more time.
Fuck Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones single-handedly raped Richard twice last year.
Yeah. But it didn't hurt in the long run. But still.
Still what?
Aaron Jones is a baller. You know, and that's what we were talking about earlier, if Rodgers is going to be there or not. Is it safe to say we all assume he's not going to be there? Or do y'all, does somebody, what do y'all think?
I don't even know.
I'm planning on him not being there. I'm still thinking he's going to play for the Broncos for a second, though.
I think he'll go to the 49ers before the Broncos.
They got, no, fuck, no. They got Garoppolo. They just drafted Trey Lance.
They tried trading for him. They
gave up on that shit.
You know, without Aaron Jones, without Aaron Rodgers, Jones can actually improve because he'll get the more touches. He'll probably get more catches. He does have a little injury bug. He gets a little banged up every season. And the thing with Aaron Jones,
he got Quadzilla also running with him.
Right. He got A.J. Dillon right behind him. Right. Well, you know, do we see a little bit more A.J.? Jamal Williams is gone.
Yes. You will see a lot more of A.J. Dillon.
And, I mean, he might be the red zone back. Who knows? I don't know what this offense is going to be. We've seen A.J. Dillon a little bit in the last year. But what I do like about Aaron Jones, but now what I don't like about him, because – he'll come out there and drop 60 points, blow up, make a couple big plays. He's a home run hitter. But then he has those games where he doesn't hit that home run.
Right.
And he's struggling to break loose. And he's kind of a little up and down for me.
Me too.
But maybe with more opportunity with Aaron Rodgers gone, he might be more consistent. But he is a home run hitter. He makes big plays. Anybody, Taylor, you got something to say about Aaron Jones?
Listen, Jamal Williams is gone. I think – you know, Aaron Jones is going to pick up that passing down work. He's going to be the only passing down back. There's not going to be Jamal Williams coming in there and, you know, taking that away from him. When you look at A.J. Dillon, his skill set, he's not going to be, you know, he may take away touches at the one, at the two, but he's not going to get the passing down work. It's a PPR league, so I love that about Aaron Jones. He took a pay cut to stay in Green Bay. And if Aaron Rodgers is there, he should be the same guy he was last year with a higher floor per game because he's getting all the passing down work.
You know what you get with Aaron Jones.
Correct.
Yeah.
He's good. Yeah, he's a touchdown.
I think this year he's going to set a record for receiving yards and PPR points, catches.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's definitely going to set a personal record. It's no way he's not.
Okay,
nobody else.
Personal record.
No, I'm going to say a record.
This should be his most received. I see what you're saying. Now, yeah, I can see that too. Especially if Jordan Love's a quarterback, he'd probably dump it off more. We don't know what this guy's going to be like at all. But, like I said, you know what you get with Aaron Jones. Who we got coming in next?
Number 8, Austin Eckler. And, man, I really do like this guy. I feel bad that I got him at 10. David got him at 8. Richard does not have him ranked in his top 12. No. And Taylor got him at 6. So, consistently, Eckler is at 8. And, Richard, why do you not like Austin Eckler? They improved the line. They have a great fucking offense, a great team,
to be honest. Yes.
I mean, last year, he only played 10 games, 500 rushing yards, 1 rushing touchdown. Okay, cool. 54 receptions, 403 yards, 2 receiving touchdowns. But the year before that, he had 92 catches. And in the PPR, bro, 92 catches, 11 touchdowns, bro, that's pretty damn good. And Justin Haebaer is pretty good. He's the guy. Okay. So, why?
Why? Because I like the guys that's ahead of him better. And I don't like the fact that he's coming off of an injury and he's getting a little bit older. So, I'm just a person.
Oh, hold on. It sounds like Taylor's about to pass out. Taylor, you all right?
You are
breathing like somebody, like you fucking about to.
I got this motherfucker up here. Hold on, let me put it close to my mouth. All right.
God, you fucking slut. All right.
Yeah, it's fair to say. I mean, Austin, Austin Eckler isn't a true running back. You're basically drafting him because he's going to catch the ball probably about 80 times.
Yeah, he's going to give you some fantasy points.
They got two other more traditional backs in Justin Jackson and Josh Kelly.
Joshua Kelly.
Yeah, so, you know, they'll get a lot more to 1-2 work. But Eckler's going to get some carries. It's just if he can get back to, like, when he caught them 90 balls because he was balling that year. If he can get back to that, he's
still be top.
At what?
He's at 8? We at 8?
Yeah, we at 8 right now. Let's see. Who does he have at 8?
Rick's 8 is Gibson. Antonio Gibson.
Like him a lot better.
I like some Gibson, too.
Gibson didn't make the top 12, but we can talk about it, man. I mean, real quick.
Yeah, let's talk about him. I got him, shit. Well, just the
stats. He's at 15, whatever.
I got him at 16 right now.
I looked at it.
Well, no, let's wait till after. Let's get through the top 12.
Let's get through the 12, but I mean,
we get the honorable mention.
There you
go,
yeah. He is an honorable mention. So, anyway, back to it. Austin Eckler, you know what you're getting there. You can get big play possibilities, yes. So good at number 8. Number 9, which I'm a little bit, well, Dave is the highest on him, but this is the other guy. Do a break. Make or break right now, Joe Mixon. And that's just where it goes.
It's the year.
Mixon at number 6 for David. Number 6, 8, 10, 11 is what he ranks in our rankings. Consensus number 9. So, David.
Same thing with Saquon. It's the best team he's been on. He got Burrow's going to come back. Burrow has weapons galore to throw the ball around to. Mixon's going to catch the ball out of the backfield. They let go of Geo, so that's more catches he's going to get. And Mixon, when healthy, is a very, very good running back. I know we haven't seen much of it because of injuries and shit, and he's playing on a bad team. And last year he struggled in the games he played, but I'm looking for Cincinnati to take a step forward in offense. And like I said, it's make or break. If Joe Mixon doesn't do this year, I will not speak his name ever again in a top 12 conversation. But he's on the best team he's ever played for now. Shit or get off the pot.
That is correct.
He needs space. If the offensive line and the quarterback and the coaches cannot create space for Joe Mixon, he is not going to be good. He cannot escape pressure coming at him in the backfield. With the addition of the weapons, he should see less field boxes.
It's going to be open for him to run. And the offensive line was banged up last year, and it wasn't too good to begin with, but they're getting back healthy now.
They added a top, you know, offensive lineman in the draft.
Yeah. So, as I see the offensive line getting better. So, all around, I see the offense getting better. So, yeah, that's why I'm high on Mixon. I understand why people might not be as high as me. It's just he's a risk, you know. But, like, I got him at 6, and this should be the year he blows up.
And there's nothing behind him. Nothing behind him.
I'm saying, with Geo going, he should catch the ball more. If Burrow jumps it off. But, you know, maybe not, because he got so many fucking weapons. I mean, damn, he'd probably just drop it off. You still got Boyd playing the slot that's going to be open half the time. So, we'll see.
Here's one thing I noticed about that offense when Joe Burrow was healthy. They did not check it down. Joe Burrow did not check it down. He would rather force the interception downfield than check it down. I don't know if he's going to get better about that, and I think that maybe contributed to the amount of times he was sacked. He's always looking downfield. If that continues,
can't
as many passes as you were thinking.
That's correct, because last year he was one of the slowest release times in the NFL, and that leads to sacks too. Now, granted, his offensive line did suck ass, but he's got to get quicker. He's got to be able to, like you said, stop looking downfield, be able to zone back in, check it down, get a few positive yards instead of making a bad play or getting a sack or something, or an injury.
But we've seen him do it in college. When he was protected at LSU, Clyde was shining, man.
He has to get back to that.
He was a rookie. The NFL is different. He's going to adjust. He's coming off an injury, so he knows he can't hold on to the ball all day like he was. He'll get better. I believe he'll check it down a lot more this year.
I don't know if they asked him to read that much at LSU. Now that I'm thinking about it, a lot of it was 5-step drop, throw, and then put it in a place for your receivers to catch it. Like, he wasn't, you know what I mean? Like, this is going to be an interesting year for Joe Burrow. I really think if he can play a whole season, I'm interested to see what he has and how he grows.
Yeah, I mean, we got to see.
Well, who we got coming in next?
Number 10. And it feels just so disrespected because this dude is a fucking baller.
I love him, man.
Nick Chubb.
I love him.
David got him at 12. Ricky Taylor got him at 9. I got him at 11. Damn. Like you said, raw stat out, you know, if you include them 100-yard games, the dude's right up there in the top because he is consistent as fuck. He's going to get the ball anywhere between 16 to 18, possibly 20 times, depending on game script. But for sure around 16, because you do got – Kareem Hunt caps him off right there. But it also helps him.
Yeah.
They're a great 1-2 punch. They both eat off of the system. But the only thing is the touches. You know, he could have more. That's the only thing that caps him. But the dude is just great. He runs the fucking ball. And he's probably the third. I mean, he's right up there with Henry and Dalvin as Forrest Gump is concerned. On a level of him, he's pretty close.
So he's safe. And he's one of the guys that can break a big run. And any, you know, any given handoff, he can break that bitch for, you know, he ain't got the speed to break no. Well, I say that. I didn't think Derrick Henry's that fast to break 90-something yard runs every year. But Chubb does it every year, and he's one of the safest running backs.
Chubb's on a really good up-and-coming team.
Yes.
A great offensive line. I mean, it's just a great situation. Yep. You can't go wrong with Chubb.
And they're a running team. I know the team loves Baker Mayfield, but Baker Mayfield's a game manager, and they're going to run first and then throw when needed.
And ask questions last.
Yeah.
Rick, any thoughts on Chubb?
Ground and pound.
That's it.
That's it.
You're going to get him this year.
And he does. If he wouldn't have been hurt to start the year, man, he would have been right up there in probably the top 5 or 6 on the way he was having them games, you know?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So
I got him at 12, but, I mean, this is not, like I said, not counting bonus points. Like, we play with all these bonus points. Dude's going to have a bunch of 100 rushing yard games, right. Big plays. He's going to be up there at the end of the year.
I see. Number 11 coming in is Jonathan Taylor for the Colts, and I really do, too. I actually didn't have him in my top 12, but like we said, this is early, but he's just in a great, perfect, great offensive line. Yes. They have Carson Wentz, which I really do believe in as a quarterback. They got the receivers, and he's a beast. I don't care if Marlon Mack's back or if Naheem Hines is still over there or whatever. Fuck it. Jonathan Taylor is a man. He's could, like you said, we was talking about him last night. David said he could be great for the next 2 or 3 years. Like, really, really good.
Yeah, he can be top running back the next few years.
Yes.
So, Richard got him highest.
Well, I got him.
No, yeah, at 7. David got him at 9. Taylor got him at 12. I have him at 13. But, whoop-de-whoop. Okay, so, off top, Richard, explain.
Offensive line, year 2,
mm-hmm.
Great defense. What's not to like about it?
And a good quarterback coming in with some good receivers. You still got T.Y., right. You got Pittman, you got Campbell, you got Gigantor that came back, Alamo Alley.
He's going to get the volume because of the way the team, I feel like they're going to play. They're going to play good defense and they're going to just pound it out.
Yeah, I mean, Wentz, I believe, is going to be better than Rivers, but
yeah.
Not good enough to be like, hey, you know what? Let's go fucking air it out. This
and,
guy.
Correct.
I don't feel like with the team they have, they're going to have to do that either.
Yeah, no. They won't have to. You know, they have the defense to back them up.
That offensive line.
You know, I see him catching the ball more this year, like we talked about last night. Naheem Hines is a pass catching back, but he, with Paris Campbell coming back healthy, you know, I think that hurts Hines. But I think Jonathan Taylor can catch some more balls, more touches in the game. I love Taylor. Man. He's one of my players that can just ball out this year, and we can be talking about him being top 6 next year.
I love Taylor too, man.
Yeah.
We love you, bud.
You got anything about him, Taylor?
I just listen. He's not going to
first listen of the year.
Any balls?
He's what?
What? He's not going to catch any balls. They still have Marlon Mack.
Yeah, 35 catches last year.
They still got Marlon Mack and Wilkins and Naheem Hines. They have 4 backs who they could play at any given time, and they have shown that they want to do that when they can. And then there is, I think they're going to be better and take a step forward, so there may be more opportunities because you got Pittman and Campbell that were hurt last year. I think they added didn't they add a tight end?
They did.
Yeah.
I can't remember who it is. They have Jack Doyle. They have Moale Cox in the back.
But it's hard to get touches in that offense.
You know, you see, he caught 30-something balls. How many balls? He caught 34?
35, somewhere around there.
You know, and I can see that going up.
He played the entire season, though. That's nothing.
Yeah, but they didn't start featuring him until later on in the year. He didn't get that feature back shit. You know, he had a couple good games beginning of the season. But in the second half of the season, he started showing out because he started getting more volume. And yeah, they brought Marlon Mack back, but he's to me just on the bench, like, okay, Taylor, you're getting fucking tired of running. Just take a break, drink some fucking Gatorade. Mack, go run the ball 2-3 times and get your ass back off the field. Mm-hmm. And that's what I see in Marlon Mack.
But it's not just those two. And I don't know if that sample, you're right, they did give him the work and he did great with it. But I don't know if that's gonna continue. That may have been some end of season stuff,
They were running the ball with Nyheim Hines more than they should have fucking been doing to begin with, you know, before they started featuring Taylor. Like I said, Nyheim Hines ain't going to get hardly any case, especially if Marlon Mack stays healthy. And with Campbell coming back, that hurts Hines for getting on the field more.
I promise you two of them other guys won't be on the team by the start of the season.
And that's a good chance. I think...
I mean, that's fair.
Jonathan Taylor could be a 3-down back.
Yeah.
And I think it's coming sooner than later.
And he's only in year 2.
And yeah, coming to his second year, I'm excited to see what he's going to do this year. I think he can be a league winner for some teams.
Here's something, a little bird walk. I'm going a little bird walk like Miss Betty used to say, rest her soul. I think that for a while the league was moving towards, I want a back that can do this in this situation, and I want a back that can do this other thing in this other situation. I think that you're going to start to see the league go back to, I want a back that's going to do it all and be on the field all the time.
Yeah. And I mean, that's where running backs made their bread and butter, when you have these 3-down running backs. And, you know, the league's been experimenting with these little catching backs and this and that, but I mean, it's not really helping teams out like talking about it. If you have a running back that doesn't have to come off the field, that you can stack the box on, or you can let him run around and catch the ball, man, that's a threat, it's a luxury.
Well, you don't tip off defense.
Exactly.
You don't tip off the defense to what you want to do. If you put in A.J. Dillon, you're probably not going to pass it to him out the backfield. You're probably going to, you know, run it with him or something like that. It just limits you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
An offensive play call.
Correct. Which rounds us up to number 12. We have hit our cap right here, this last guy. Same thing what we're talking about, Najee Harris. An all-around guy. And that's why. He's the rookie. He's the dynasty talk of the town right now. And as far as redraft, I feel he could be top 12 easily this rookie year because I see him getting 300 touches plus.
Yes.
So,
listen, if Najee, if everything goes right with that offense, we are way too low on Najee.
Correct. You know, I don't know what Big Ben got left in the tank, but I really do feel like you're kind of correct. If they got a little bit of something, they know how to play, bro. Pittsburgh always does. If they can get their line intact, they lost Pouncey, they lost Villanueva or whatever. So,
and that's what scares me about Najee this year. Now, I think Najee's going to be great, but they really don't have an offensive line, which last year you've seen it because no running back can run out the fucking backfield. Now, Najee Harris is different. He's going to be able to make moves and get, he's not going to get hit in the backfield all the time like all these other running backs were. But Big Ben is still there, and with no offensive line, last year they ran a lot of just quick pass plays, screens, you know, hurry up and dump it off the top, Deontay, and let's hurry up and get it to Juju and this and that. And with Ben still there, I think that offense, I believe Najee Harris is going to get a lot, you know, a bunch of carries, but I don't think this is the year for him to be top 12. He's a rookie.
Yeah, me and you don't have him in our top 12. Taylor got him at 11, Richard got him at 12, so, I mean, it ranks him up. But,
I think agree. In a year or two, when they stack the offensive line, he's going to be unstoppable.
That's what I'm thinking.
But who's going to be the quarterback? That's the whole thing about the Steelers, how they're built. There is Big Ben and nobody, and that is a huge problem.
Well, I'm assuming they'll draft somebody. But it's
maybe they still got baby Rookie. And who knows it being last like 2 years or 3 years.
Yeah, well,
time will tell.
That's one thing you can't beat is Father Time.
Big Ben is not going to be Father Time. If there's ever a quarterback to be done before he was 41, it's that dude.
Hey. Okay, so that's number 12, right?
Yep. We got three audible mentions, consensus rate-wise, that come up. And it's I'll just wrap a little all three off, and we'll talk about them real quick. Detroit with Swift, Gibson in Washington, and Akers with the Rams. 13, 14, 15.
Three sophomores.
Marry one, fuck one, kill one.
Yeah. I'd marry all three of them. bro, all three have the potential. I guess Akers probably the scariest one to me.
Which maybe, I don't see it, man, on that team, bro. Because
on the team he's going to be on, and now you have Stafford as an open off the office. I don't know. I like all three of them. All three of them can end up in the top 12 before it's said and done.
Who are you highest on out of those three, Taylor? Swift, Gibson, or Akers? All three rookies from last year.
Probably Akers. Probably Akers. Just because I think that offense is going to take a huge leap forward. And I think the other two might not get the lion's share that we're thinking.
Yeah, Akers is actually in my top 10 in my rankings. So I'm pretty high on him. Just with that offensive situation, McVay, I just think he can cut the fuck up. Because, I mean, what else they got? Daryl Henderson?
Yeah.
Well, there was talk that a big reason why Jared Goff was gone is because McVay wasn't opening up the offense. And he didn't feel like he could do what he wants to do with Jared Goff. He was tailoring his offense to Jared Goff, and it wasn't good for the Rams. So with Stafford, one of the reasons why they got Stafford is that he feels he can do exactly what he wants. So we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, definitely so. Richard, we know you're highest on Gibson. Bingo. Just for the fact, man, I told you last year, I loved Antonio Gibson.
I like his situation.
That and
he get the volume, and he got the defense to back him.
You're right, and he came in the league as being a super threat at catching the ball. And they didn't throw the ball to him last year. So you know the catches are going to come this year. He's an all-around back. Do it all. You ain't got to take him off the field.
Right.
So big thanks for Gibson. I do love Gibson also. Yes. And I do love Swift too, because I still think that he still has potential to be up in the top 12 just with the situation there. I mean, they don't have much. So they got to try and run it. Right. And then if not, dump it.
Yep.
Right.
Dump and pump.
I like all three of the guys. I'm going to just ramble off some names. Since this is a running back show. First, before I even ramble off some names, how do y'all feel about Mike Davis? Honestly.
Trey Poore loves him. If you got Mike Davis, trade him to Trey Poore. Oh, God. Richard.
I didn't think Mike Davis was that good last year. I mean, he had some big fantasy games. I didn't think he was that good of a running back. He hasn't been that great of a running back. But there's people high on Mike Davis this year. Go, you know, maybe just because he's...
I mean, he got a starting role.
Yeah. But is Atlanta going to be that good running the ball? I mean, they're going to sling it all year, I'm assuming, just like they've done the past. Their defense is better, but...
He can catch.
Yeah. Taylor, you got anything on Mike Davis?
So, I hear that this Atlanta offense is going to be one of the most pass heavy in the league. So I think that, you know, it's going to be something you have to wait and see, because you don't know how that's going to play out. If they're passing a bunch and they're rotating in two guys, it's not going to be enough. If they're passing a bunch and it's just Mike Davis, now that could be interesting. If he's getting all the goal line work, if he's the only running back on the field, you know, he doesn't have to be touching all the time, but if he's on the field all the time, that could be a great position for him. But they are going to pass the ball a lot. That may not, you know, I think about it, Mike Davis was a pretty decent pass catcher when CMC was out.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I'm interested. He very well could be. I'm interested, but jury's still out, I guess.
Okay.
What about this? I want to cut on the one because you might probably say him, but The guy that was third overall in rushing attempts last year, Josh Jacobs.
Nah, that was another one I was going to get to. Kenyon Drake's in town.
Richard, that's your area.
Yeah.
Elaborate on Josh Jacobs.
Shit, he going to do what he do. It's going to be the same thing. He going to run the ball. He going to run the ball and get the goal line work. Yeah, you got Drake there. That's going to kind of, I guess, give us some more weapons because we definitely need them. But other than that, I think you're going to see the same shit, at least attempt-wise, with Jacobs.
Okay, so you don't feel Drake is too much of a threat then? Just a little?
Nah, he just there to add some other options.
See, I just got a couple more questions. We can make it quick. I know we're getting late into the episode. Jacksonville. They drafted Travis Etienne.
And they still had James Robinson.
Yeah, they got James. Who would you want on your team? James Robinson or Etienne?
This year.
I don't know, bro.
I don't know. I don't run for neither.
You know, you'd probably be best to stay away from it.
If I had to pick, I might go. Is this Tiger League?
Dynasty, yeah. Though? It's everything. Yeah. We're talking to everybody. So, in Dynasty, bro,
ETN
has a chance of cutting up.
What, this year, two for Robinson, yeah. Too? I mean,
undrafted free agent, can't go ball. Wrong. Dude showed he can ball, man.
I'd rather own him in a Dynasty League than have him in a redraft league.
I will
league.
Say this. I like to pay attention to what go on around. And for them to draft ETN with a first-round pick, with them already having
Robinson, you have to look where you spend the capital.
That, yeah.
And that's Urban Meyer's team now, so it's a whole different business.
Right.
Urban Meyer didn't pick up or saw James Robinson.
Correct. But James Robinson hasn't given us any reason to doubt him either.
Absolutely.
So, dude, ball on a bad team. Absolutely. The offense should be better this year.
We'll see.
Taylor, Robinson or Etienne?
James Robinson. And the reason why it's James Robinson is because the coaches and everybody want it to be ETN. They want him to be the guy year one. They want to give him the work, but it's not going to work out. I think he's going to have trouble translating his first year. And James Robinson is going to shine. You know, I think that the logic behind taking him that early, you want Trevor Lawrence to feel comfortable. You want to surround him with players that he's played with. You see that a little bit over the league this year, reuniting players with other college players that they played with.
Yeah.
Very interesting to see how that goes, but I don't think that a running back, so you're not going to ask him to run up the middle. You're going to use him as a pass catcher.
Yeah.
He's been catching passes in minicamp. That's even tougher than a running back like Jonathan Taylor that's just running straight up, that's using his body to pound. You know, you asking him to learn a lot and also to pass protect. So, against NFL caliber defensive linemen. So, I don't think it's going to work. I think it's going to look like it's going to be but it's not gonna play out. Week one, week two is not gonna play out.
Okay, one more situation. Arizona, would you rather have Chase Edmonds or James Conner on your team?
James Conner.
Neither.
Ben?
James Conner.
I'm leaning more on the Conner side also. He'll get the goal line work.
Edmonds will get a lot of catches and some of the backfield work like that. Big plays across the field and shit. As far as goal line work and 1-2 down running back, it's definitely going to be Conner. So, yeah, I'd say Conner.
All right. I'm going to name a couple names and J.K. Dobbins, Clyde.
I like him.
Yeah.
Like
David Montgomery.
I like him too.
They're all in a gray area, which they could also all produce greatness.
Right.
And that's do you see any of them sneaking into the top 12?
All three.
Yes.
All three.
Yes. Okay. Everyone uses name.
And one more question, and I'm done. Who in the hell is Houston's starting running back? David Johnson, Philip Lindsay. I don't think it's Mark Ingram, but Mark Ingram's there. Who, if you draft, okay, you're in the fucking.
You should.
Alfred Blue.
I'm assuming David Johnson's still the running back, but man, Houston might be the worst team. In the
Aaron
fucking
Foster too. Might still be there to win.
They gonna bring it back.
Well, that about do it. That's our running back episode.
If somebody week one comes out, that's the one you want.
Yeah, I guess.
Yep, you're right. But you can't fucking tank week one and try to get the early waiver wire pick because we own a budget in Tiger now, thank Gord. So fuck you, Taylor. Any thoughts, Taylor? You got anything to tell everybody before we sign off? Because we know you like to tell everybody something.
I'm looking forward to the wide receiver show. It's good to be back with y'all. So, you know, it's going to be a good season.
Does Richard win everything in Legends?
No.
I agree.
I'm keeping our receipts.
How more can Green and JP burn their teams? Tune in next time and we'll let you know.
You got anything else, Richard?
No, great show. Ready for the season, I know that.
Hell yeah.
Ready for some drafts.
Yes, me too.
We need to discuss Empire.
See who I'm leaving y'all in Legends.
Fuck you. But yeah. Good show.
Alright, well, he's Taylor, he's Rick, he's Ben, and I'm Dave, and we'll catch y'all next time. Fuck you, Dota.